he's from California. We can tell him anything and we'll get away with it. You know this.
That's true. No, I started at Roosevelt Stadium in 73 in July, and I used a 126. I used a CB antenna as a microphone pole, and I attached a single Shure Omni mic to it. And as I would tell us, as I tell
Barry,
us...
you're getting boring already.
You'll have your turn.
Make up some dirt.
Come on.
Tell him something.
This is interesting.
This is a great story. This is interesting. Man.
And I would take this whip antenna out, right? I would hold it, and it would bend the mic like a fishing rod. You know, it just looked really weird. But I still have that first tape, and it sounds pretty good still. But that came about because, for a while...
I could tell him how I met Louis.
I used to listen to live albums. And live albums were always the best thing to listen to, I felt. Live Dead, the Airplane, Bless Us Point a Little Head, stuff like that. And to be able to go to a show and capture it live was always something I wanted to do, especially in college where you didn't have that many tapes to listen to.
I got away.
So you'd come back with some really mediocre quality Nassau Coliseum tape in 73. And even though it didn't sound great, it was interesting because you had songs you couldn't get anywhere else.
Right after that, I was telling you the story before.
And over time, I would take curtain rods, hacksaw them into telescoping pieces, and use that as a pole, reassemble it inside the outdoor arena, like Roosevelt Stadium.
So it was really for an audiophile reason rather than a... But didn't the guerrilla aspect of it have an appeal to you? I mean, it was against the rules, right?
Well, it was... That's one thing, but it was more really wanting to have souvenirs, musical souvenirs of shows I went to.
And were you a music lover?
Oh, yeah.
And were the Dead your favorite band?
They were, I'd say, equal up there with bands like The Airplane and The Who and Emerson, Lake & Palmer. So when this started out, in the first audience tapes I made were The Dead, Santana, Dave Mason, John Mayall, and stuff like that. It really ran the gamut.
It really was it difficult to do? I mean, to get away with it?
Well, I went to school at Stony Brook in those days, and by the time I was in my senior year, I knew most of the Student Activities Board people. So there were situations where I'd be in the gymnasium and I'd have a pole sticking up in the 15th row, and that was okay. But sneaking it into John Scher's venues wasn't that easy. They did check back then. They had big signs up, they had big goons, and a lot of it was pretty much what we do even to this day. I mean, a tape deck down the pants or buried over with clothing and food and other stuff you could take into the shows. But it wasn't really that much harder. It wasn't that much harder then than it is now.
What is it about Grateful Dead music that makes it worth doing this?
Oh, that's easy. It's the fact that you can go three nights in a row in a particular city and see an entirely different show every night. That is, there's so many songs out there that's in the repertoire. I've gone to see Pink Floyd three shows in a row, and it's note for note, and you could set your watch by it, by when the sets end, when the next set begins. The lights should go out at 9:42, and they go out at 9:42. So with bands like that, you really don't get a lot of variety. So you catch one good tape of a band like Pink Floyd or many other bands, and that's all you need. Even The Airplane on the last tour didn't really vary the shows that much, aside from the Hatsune set they played.
Did you tape them?
Yeah, at Radio City, which is a nice place to record in.
They realize that he might want to talk to me.
They make an attempt. New York State law prohibits the photographing and recording of the show, and that's the extent of their action. It's like, you shouldn't do this, so don't. And okay, turn the deck on, guys.
10 o'clock. New York time.
But even jazz clubs. I mean, lately I've been recording a lot of jazz and fusion, Papathini and stuff like that in that area. And at some of the clubs in New York, like the Blue Note, small places, and you can make unbelievably good tapes in these clubs. And they really don't care unless you're blatant and they really see you. And it's not that hard to get away with it. More often than not, like at Radio City, they really don't check you going in the door. They really don't. Not at all.
Do you listen to all your tapes all the time?
It goes in phases. Every now and then I'll fall into a rut and I like to listen to a certain show I recently recorded. And then after a while it's just, after a box or two of cassettes have come and gone, more shows have sort of buried it. They sort of get forgotten until someone says, oh, I'd like a copy of that. And then it's like, yeah, I'd like to hear that show, and you pull it off the shelf and listen to it. But it's between work and everything else, it's like there's so much music on an ongoing basis. It's hard to really sit back and listen to go through everything you've recorded. But I make cassette copies of some of my favorite shows. And within a year or so, there's certain things that fall in and out of favor with me. There's certainly more Dead tapes because just the sheer variety and the nature of the music is something that appeals to me more. But I have a number of Pink Floyd tapes I travel with, listen to on the subways.
I remember Minky, you did the Wall tour, didn't you?
Yeah, that's one classic. That stands out. Those masters have been coast to coast.
Now, I wanted to ask you about that. And you have a really long-term relationship with a fairly large group of people that do this with you, right? Is that an important part of your life?
Well, the relationship is basically one where we can constantly replenish and expand our collections. It's that when you have people on the opposite coast, it's great because you may miss a show locally that a week or a month later somebody else gets, or the other way, they may get the show first, and then by the time they make it over to New York, you know what they're going to do. Was there extra security? But usually that's a local thing. But you get an advance notice, like on the Wall show. They played out in L.A. first, and I got a poor quality audience tape sent to me right after the show to sit down and listen to, so we could figure out how we were going to record the show, where the tape should be flipped. And it came in very handy because you really didn't know what to expect. Overall, the relationship is one where the taping has, over time, with my traveling back and forth to California once or twice a year, has become more than just taping. It's friendship with a number of people. And I like coming out here, not just for shows, but to make a vacation out of it whenever I can as well.
You have a family?
I'm still single, not married.
So is traveling to Dead concerts an important part of your life?
It still is. Basically, it's vacation. While the recording of the shows can often be work, and it's not the kind of vacation where you go down to the Caribbean and lie in the sun on the beach all day. I find, aside from the strenuous stuff of standing, holding mics, I do find it somewhat relaxing to eventually come back, hit the hotel, listen to the tape, and I find it personally fulfilling. I enjoy it.
Is this a hobby? Would you characterize this as a hobby or something else?
It's a hobby that has degrees of seriousness to it. Many would see it as more than a hobby. My parents always thought I would grow out of this. I'm coming up on 20 years of going to Dead shows. And certainly in terms of traveling, even as far back as 73, they'd see me hop on a bus and go to RFK Stadium, go up to Buffalo. So the traveling aspect I've been doing now for about 17 years. But the serious touring aspect started around 79, when I would actually go to wholesale tours, 8 shows in a row, things like that.
What's the weirdest thing that ever happened to you on a taping trip?
On a taping trip? I guess the Greek in 88, where a girl tripped and spilled a giant-sized soda on both tape decks during the opening song, the music never stopped, and there were ice cubes in the headphone jacks. And we were shaking the decks and sucking out the ice cubes from it. And you'd open up the cassette deck and shake the water off the cassette. We were down for that show. Ironically, I had a second deck with me in the hotel room, so the next day we were back and running. But I have no audience master of that.
That's like the saddest thing that ever happened to you. Is there a funnier thing?
I guess there are a number of funny things. It's not as much funny things. There are so many road stories and things, but it's hard to think of something I would just classify as funny offhand. It's not that something really pops into my head. An interesting thing was in Providence a few years ago, when they had the taping tickets and all that stuff, they had a separate entrance. You would go in like below the regular entrance, like almost underground, and it would take you right onto the floor, right to your section. And one funny thing there was all the tapers complaining about the seats in the section and getting the okay from the ushers so they could just remove the seats wholesale because nobody wanted to actually use seats. And that was interesting. It's like all these people are getting frustrated with that. Another funny thing was at Worcester in past years, they've sometimes didn't estimate how much room the soundboard would take up. So they sometimes would overshoot, and the seats you had were gone because the soundboard was there. So they would give you substitute tickets. And there was one time that I think it was in 88 on the 88 on the April tour, where we wound up having two rows in front of Healy, in front of the board. And initially there was, you can't tape in front of the board, but then he said, hey, come on, these are our seats, and now we're here. And it became like a priority taper section, two rows in front of the board, where you could put up the stands at head level and not be hassled. That was nice.
Did the tape come out good?
Yeah, real good. They also broadcast those locally, but the audience tapes are real nice.